good morning. I jumped the gun there before how great thou art. Yeah, I was excited to get up here and preach, but I'm glad that we didn't miss that, though, because worship team did great with that, and I think it's awesome to sing how great. That's one of my favorite hymns, to sing how great God is. Happy Baptism Sunday. One of my favorite Sundays of the year. We do this in late May every year. Where we baptize any individuals that are feeling led to be baptized. And even if you didn't sign up today and the Holy Spirit stirs on your heart to be baptized, you can be baptized at the end of service today. I really struggled through the message this week because typically on Baptism Sunday, I'm going to preach a baptism sermon. And God just wouldn't let me. I had this sermon stirring in my heart, and even though, and you're going to hear about how crazy my week was, even though my week was crazy, I wish I could have preached my previous baptism sermon, God just wouldn't let me. And so today we're going to talk about peace and anxiety and how to overcome anxiety with the peace of God. We're in a series called Peace, and during the series, we have covered what peace means, and in the first week, we looked at the Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. But actually, when you characterize something as shalom, it means that it is whole, complete, or as it should be. And so the picture we put in our heads was that a wall is complete when every stone is in place. That would represent a wall that is at peace. But when one of those pieces is missing, it is no longer at shalom. Well, Jesus, we're told in Isaiah, is the Prince of Peace, which means he's the author of peace. He's the one who gives peace. And in John, in his farewell discourse to his disciples, he tells us he is leaving his peace with us. And when we hear peace, that he's living peace with us, we think, great, there's going to be no conflict, there's going to be no trouble in life, everything's going to be smooth going. Yet, that's not how life is. And that's not the peace that Jesus offered. The peace that Jesus offered was not a life without trouble, but instead a deep inner wholeness, or the way God designed us to be, steady, secure, and unshaken. Where even though there's trouble on the outside, you're not troubled on the inside. You remain committed and focused on following God. And then last week we talked about how we don't have peace because of sin. We live with this lack of inner peace. We live with this hole in our heart because we were created to live in a relationship with God. And when we don't have that relationship, something isn't right. But thankfully Jesus came to make peace in that relationship so that we could have a relationship with God. And that's exactly why at least three people are getting baptized today. Because they have peace with God. And baptism is a outward expression of an inward commitment into their faith. They're going public with their faith in Jesus. Yet, I could not get away from preaching on anxiety and the peace of God. So I don't know who this message is for. But it is for someone. There's a reason why I have to preach it today, and I don't know why, but God just laid that on my heart. So let's talk about overcoming anxiety with the peace of God. I think anxiety is sort of a catch-all word nowadays, but I think it's a catch-all word for anything that causes us to not feel at peace within. And actually, anxiety is a really good description of what it feels like to not be at peace. When you look at what anxiety is, it is a natural human response to danger, to uncertainty, to pressure, or to loss of control. And so there are times where it makes sense for your inner peace to go away. If a bear is chasing you, I hope that you are not at peace. I hope that inside you feel like something is wrong. If you meet Randy on the road, and we all know how bad of a driver Randy is, you do not need to be at peace. You need to be on the steering wheel, prepared to swerve if he swerves at you. There are times where it makes sense to not feel at peace. And at those times, your body, your brain's emotional processing center activates. It signals the nervous system to release hormones like adrenaline and cortisol. And what that does is that prepares your body to either fight a predator or to run away. And so anxiety in that case is good. The problem becomes is when that anxiety is there even when you're not in danger. When peace feels like this fleeting thing that you're always chasing and never able to experience because you're constantly feeling anxious. Common physical symptoms associated with anxiety would be increased heart rate and shallow breathing. Muscle tension, which, you know, you think about your muscles are tensing because you're armoring yourself because you feel in danger. You're feeling like you need to protect yourself. And when you feel like that all the time, you're constantly going to be on edge. Digestive issues are a part of anxiety. And the reason why that is because the body is taking energy away from non-essential tasks so that you can respond to whatever's going on. And then, of course, restlessness or jitters. When you are stuck in a state of anxiety and you have all those physical symptoms, it will wear you out. And that's not to mention your mental state, because mentally you're stuck in this loop of negative thoughts and you often assume the worst outcome is going to happen. And because you don't feel safe, you feel the need to control everything going on around you. And so you're never at rest. I find it very interesting that Solomon described anxiety or tells us what anxiety does in Proverbs 12:25. He says, anxiety weighs down the heart. That's true. In fact, if you know my story, you know I struggle with anxiety pretty greatly. I look back now and realize that my high school life was defined by anxiety. There are times where my anxiety feels so strong that it feels exactly like that. It feels like someone, there's a weight on my heart. It feels like someone is taking my heart and just gripping it as hard as they can, which is probably the tension that I'm holding in my upper body and from the muscle tensing up because I'm constantly on edge. But man, there are times, just to be honest with you, where I can't sleep unless I have my hand over my heart just to make it feel calmer and safe. And while that's my physical heart, I think that's talking about your spiritual heart, your emotional heart, a metaphorical heart. But I find it interesting that often when people have anxiety, they feel something in their physical heart. I think those are connected, our physical heart and the heart that is talked about in Scripture. Another thing I thought about is my mind often feels like static on the TV. You know, there's nothing going on. It's just static, and it feels like there's too much going on, but yet there's nothing going on, nothing beneficial going on. Now, the Word has a lot to say about anxiety, and nowhere is it more clear than in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And so this is where we're just going to work through these two verses today. The sermon is supposed to be shorter, but often when it's shorter, it ends up being longer. So we'll see. But I'm going to try to get you out of here so we can get those three people baptized, and then we have a local church conference after, and we have a meal after. So we have a lot to go on today. So let's work through these first two verses. Let me read them to you. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're just going to take that piece by piece. Let's first start with do not be anxious about anything. The word for anxious here in this context suggests a mind being pulled in different directions or a mind that is divided. Another way of describing that is your mind is fragmented. When I discovered the meaning of anxiety and looked at that in the context of peace meaning whole or complete, I was like, whoa, anxiety is the opposite of peace. Because when you are feeling anxious, your mind is going different directions. You are divided. It is fragmented. It is not whole. But when you're at peace, when your heart and your mind is at peace, it is whole, it's complete, it is as it should be. Have you ever been pulled in different directions at the same time? Yeah. Maybe not physically, but I'm talking about mentally. Like, you had this to do, and you had that to do, and you had this to do, and you had a screaming child screaming at you, and you had the other one begging for attention. That's been my week this week. We had a lot to do this week. I had to write a sermon. We had to prepare for our local church conference. That deck on the other side of the fellowship hall was in horrible, horrible shape. And so we jumped on it and basically spent my Tuesday and Wednesday fixing that. It was my turn to mow the church this week, so I had to mow the church. And not to mention have a one-year-old at home and a three-year-old at home and a wife at home. And so, and then somehow, forgot about this, somehow I got roped into coaching T-ball. Even though I have played zero baseball in my life. And I am now a T-ball coach. And so I've been dealing with that this week. So that has been my week. It's been a stressful week. And that's why I was like, God, just let me preach a baptism sermon. I've already got it written up. We can preach something that we preached last year. And God said, no, you're preaching these two verses. And so I said, okay. And so Paul is saying that we should not be pulled in different directions about anything. Yet that's the way my week was. And so I was like, about anything, Paul? Really? And I was going to get up here and tell you that, you know, he's just saying that. Like, there are things that you should be pulled in different directions about or anxious about. But then I was like, no. The word says, do not be anxious about anything. I think he means about anything. Why? Because nothing's going to happen to you without God allowing it. That bear is not going to hit you unless God allows it. And so we really should not be anxious about anything. That is the first command. Now, Paul says that, but we know that we live in a fallen state. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen state. And so we're still going to feel anxiety at times. We're still going to worry at times. But what Paul is saying is, don't let that control you. In fact, in the original Greek, he's communicating that we need to stop a habit that is already in progress. In other words, don't let it continue. You're going to feel anxious. You're going to worry at times. But stop that before it progresses. Stop it before it turns into something bigger. And so the way I kind of thought about it is, our worrisome thoughts are going to come, but what do we do with those thoughts once they come? It's kind of like temptation. You're going to be tempted. That's not the sin. Temptation, if you give into it, then you sin. But the temptation comes, you have to overcome the temptation. You have to choose to allow that temptation to pass so that you remain committed to God. I think worry is the same way. The worrisome thoughts are going to come into your head. The question is, do you allow that cycle to continue and it turn into something bigger? And so he tells us how to stop those worrisome thoughts from becoming something bigger. And here's what he says. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In every situation. Now, I was just going to skip over that and just tell you every situation, period. Then I thought about it. This means that he's telling you not to be anxious, not to worry, even when the problems you are facing, they're your own fault. Because sometimes when they're my own fault, I says, well, I deserve this. And so I just should experience this. No, he's saying in every situation, you go to God and you ask God to take this away or to work in this, give you peace in this. In every situation, no matter if it's your own fault, no matter if it's someone else's fault, no matter if you feel like it's God's fault, in every situation, what does he tell us to do? First, he tells us to pray. You might be thinking when he says prayer and petition, he's talking about the same thing. They're a little bit different. Prayer is talking about our general communication with God. And so he is telling us just generally, commune with God. get into his presence. And then when you get into his presence, that's when you petition him. That's when you ask him whatever you're wanting to ask him. That's when you petition him to move. That's when you're honest with what you're requesting, whatever it is. And then he says, do all this with thanksgiving. Give thanks to God for what? For everything you have. Because no matter what you're going through, God has still been good to you. God has still given you many blessings in your life. And so he's telling us, when you are making these prayers and these petitions in the situation that's making you anxious, do it with thanksgiving. Presenting your requests to God. He's showing us a little bit of what I call the anxiety cycle. So you have a situation that happens, and so he's telling us in every situation, no matter what the situation is, the situation often causes us to worry. That's that initial thought that enters your head, that initial, I compared it to temptation earlier. And I always tell myself, what good does worrying do? I mean, literally, I have no power, very little power over a lot of what happens in my life. Worry doesn't do anything positive, so that's why I try to stop it right there and give it to God, but that's where I struggle. When we constantly live in a state of worry, it comes with consequences. Psychologists have studied people who struggle with anxiety and worry, and those studies have shown that stress and anxiety are associated with increased health risk and eventually higher mortality rates over time. And while it's great that our psychologists have figured that out, Jesus had figured that out many years ago. He said in Matthew 6:27, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? He's asking that rhetorically. No, you're not going to add a single hour to your life by worrying. And so there's a consequence there. When we constantly live in this state of worry and anxiety, we are hurting our physical selves. We're hurting our health. Not only that, but a lack of peace in your life causes you to not be a person of peace on the outside. I'm not the best me when I'm anxious. I'm not the best dad. I'm not the best husband. I'm not the best father. I'm not the best friend. I'm not the best pastor. I am not the best me when I'm anxious, and you're not the best you when you allow that worry to turn into chronic anxiety. And not to mention, anxiety can cause us to sin. There's a reason why there are so many bars and places for you to go to get numbing substances to allow that anxiety and that lack of peace you feel to be gone just for a brief period. And while I have never drank in my life, never done drugs in my life, you know that when you begin to go to sin to handle this worry and anxiety, you create bigger situations for yourself. And then it causes you to worry again. And then it causes your anxiety to become bigger. And it creates this cycle that debilitates you from being who God has called you to be. And so Paul gives us a way out. He's telling us you're going to have situations. You may worry. You're going to have those worrisome thoughts. But that is when you pray, you petition, and you give thanksgiving to God. And it's an off-ramp off of that cycle so that you can have peace. The way Peter said it in 1 Peter 5:7, he told us to cast all your anxiety on him, referring to God, because God cares for you. The picture I have in my head is literally throwing my anxiety to God, saying, here you go, you take it, I don't want it anymore. You take it, I don't want to deal with this anymore. He's telling us to cast that anxiety on him. So when we feel those worrisome thoughts, we go to God in prayer, and we give it to him. So I kind of want to act that out here with these two buckets. And one bucket you'll see is full of paper. My joke was going to be, this represents a woman's mind, and this represents a man's mind. And there is some truth to that. Did you know men have a nothing box? We can literally be thinking about nothing at times. women don't have a nothing box. And they are always having thoughts come into their mind. We can sit here and have a nothing box. But the example I wanted to use here is, let's say all these papers represent thoughts. And this is probably a good picture of what a lot of your brains look like. I mean, it scrambled thoughts, this galore going through your head. When we are experiencing those anxious thoughts, that worrisome cycle, all those thoughts, what Paul and Peter are both telling us to do is you need to give these to God in prayer. Cast these to God. So this box is going to represent God. Give it to him. Say, God, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm dealing with. Here's the exact thought. Take it, Lord. I beg you to help me to be have a wholesome mind. Knowing that anxiety means your mind is split in different directions, is fragmented. You're saying, help my mind to be whole. Or take these thoughts, take these situations. I don't want to have to worry about this anymore. Father, give me your peace in the middle of it. And what I believe is that eventually God, if you continue giving them over to him, he will clear your thoughts, he will clear your mind so that you can be whole. So that you can go in your nothing box if you're a man and think about nothing. Or if you're a woman, you have wholesome thoughts. You have thoughts that lead you into a closer relationship with Jesus. Now listen, I do this. When I feel anxiety, when I worry, I give my thoughts over to God. I hand them over. But if I'm honest with you, it doesn't work. And here's why. Because I hand them over to God, and then I pick them right back up. My mind goes right back to whatever I was thinking. My mind goes back to whatever situation. When I lay my head down at night, what's the first thing I think about? Whatever it is that I'm anxious about. I don't truly hand them over. I might say I do. I might be praying about them. I might be talking to God about them. But I pick them right back up. So then it made me think, and this is where God spoke to me, so maybe this sermon was for me, I don't know. I don't do the third part. Because he tells us by prayer and petition, give your thoughts over to God, present your request to God, but he tells us a key point in there. You do it with thanksgiving. And that was just like a huge eye-opener to me. He's telling me, you give these over to God. You pray, you petition God, you hand the situation over to him, and once you're done, once you don't have nothing else to say, you then turn your attention away from this, from the problems, from the situation, and you turn your attention to whatever it is you have to be grateful for. And number one, you have to be grateful for the cross. Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you. He has been so good to you. And I think this is important for us to turn our attention away, because what I do is I keep my attention on the situation. I focus on what I don't have. I focus on whatever's causing the problem. And what Paul is saying here is no. You have to shift your perspective away from what you don't have to what you do have. You have to shift your perspective, and when you do, it forces you to move away from our lack, from our worry, from our fear, from whatever it is, and instead to focus on everything that we do have in our life. And I was like, man, I don't do that. When I'm praying at night and I'm working through these things with God, I just stay on it, basically. And so I give it up to God, and then I pick it right back up and start thinking about what I need to do to handle the situation. Where my mind should go is I give it to God, and then I'm like, God, I'm so grateful for my wife. I'm so grateful for my kids. I'm so grateful for my church. I'm so grateful for all that you blessed me with. You've been so, so good to me. Thank you for all you've given me. And all of a sudden, you're not focusing on whatever's causing you anxiety. You're not focusing on the anxiety that comes with coaching T-ball. You're focusing on how good God is and how we're getting three people baptized today. You're focusing on how good God has been to our church this past year. You're focusing on how good God is in all of our lives. And Paul says that it is then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, the wholesome inside of us, the shalom, the calm, the steadiness. He says it transcends understanding. It's literally, you can't understand it. What that is indicating is that the peace that you will feel within whatever the situation is won't make sense. It won't make sense to you, and it won't make sense to others. And that made me think, then we turn into a testimony. When the peace we are feeling is causing us to respond differently than those in the world would to whatever the situation is, they're going to say, what's different about you? Man, I want that. I want that peace. I want that wholeness. I want that. And we tell them it can only come from God. Now, he tells us that the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. We've already talked about how the heart and the mind is viewed in Scripture as the core of our actions. It refers to our emotions. It refers to our thoughts. The Greek word for guard here is a military term that describes a garrison of soldiers standing watch over a city. And so he is wanting us to picture this in our mind, that the peace of God is standing at guard as like a sentry, watching over, patrolling the borders of your emotions and your thoughts so that you can remain at peace within. I don't know about you, but I would love for the peace of God to be my guard. There is no greater military guard in the world than God. And that peace frees us up so that we don't feel the need to numb our anxiety, so that we don't feel the need to not be at peace and not be a peaceful person on the outside. That frees us up so that we have a free and clear mind and heart to do what God is calling us to do. It frees us up to be at our best for our spouses, for our kids, for our church, for our coworkers, and for this world. And so I hope that we desire that today. How do we experience it? Well, first, I think we need to identify the situation that is causing anxiety. Because if you're like me, there are times where I don't even know why I'm anxious. I mean, Sarah's been married long enough now, been together long enough now that she knows when I'm off. And she'll just say, are you off? And I'll say, yeah. And she'll say, do you know why? And sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes I'm literally in my nothing box, and I still feel anxious. That's when I knew that it was a chemical reaction in my brain, and I might need further help. Which is okay, by the way. God has given doctors and scientists the ability to create medicines that will help when anxiety is a chemical imbalance in your brain. And that's what I've struggled with. But there's been times where she's been anxious. And I'm like, hey, do you know why? And she says, no, I don't even know. And so for us, what we need to do is you need to identify the situation that's causing anxiety. And so here's some questions you can ask. When did I start feeling this way? What changed? What are the thoughts going through my head? Because I think we need to identify what is causing anxiety so that we know where to target our prayers, so we know what to ask God for. And so we need to ask, when did this start? Did it start when I got to work? What changed between being at home and work? Well, work is stressful. Home is not. What's happened at work that's caused me to feel this way when I step through these doors? And then you probably can identify, well, that coworker cussed you out last week. Or that boss is really hard on me, or whatever it is. And then you're like, you know, at that point, what you need to pray about. You know at that point where you need to target your prayers. And so that leads into the second step. We need to give our concerns over to God through prayer. You start, first of all, with just getting in God's presence, quieting your soul, quieting your mind as much as you can, and then tell God what it is you're worried about. Be specific. Now, he already knows, but this is part of an exercise for you so that you know what exactly it is that you are giving over to God. State it to him. And then take a pause and listen to see if he says anything in return. See if a thought pops into your mind that aligns with Scripture, aligns with something God would say, but you know it didn't originate with you. But be prepared for the enemy to come in there and shame you as well. There's one thing the devil hates, that he hates when you pray. And he's going to hate it if we get this down. Because there's a lot of people crippled by anxiety today. But if we can get this down, we can experience the peace of God, guarding our hearts and minds, literally fighting off the enemy. What a picture for us to see in our heads and for us to experience in our life. And then I think when you're talking to God, tell him why you're feeling the way you do about whatever the situation is. And if you don't know why, work through that with God. Do you feel worried about this situation because you lack trust in God? Do you lack trust in people? Or are you just overwhelmed with life right now? Do you just have a lot going on? And if that's it, then what do you need to do about it? Ask God what you need to do. Ask God for guidance. Ask God to help. And I think one of the best ways, and this has been proven with psychology as well, to process your thoughts is to write them down. Some people have prayer journals where they write as their act of writing these papers and giving them to God. They write them down as a spiritual act of giving it over to God. I think that's beneficial. Or maybe it's literally you write it on a piece of paper and you throw it away as a symbolic act that you are handing it over. We're about to do that, in fact. A symbolic act that you're handing it over to God, but it, hopefully that's what's happening in your head. There's something about actually doing it that helps you to do it in your head. And then petition God to move on your behalf. Tell him exactly what you want him to do. But I say that, and I add this caveat on the side. You do it with humility. Because if you're going through something, God has allowed it in your life for a purpose. And so you can ask God to do whatever, but at the end, make sure that you are trusting in his wisdom. And make sure you understand that he has a purpose. And so one of the best prayers we can pray when we're going through this is, Lord, help me to experience your peace and help this situation to make me more like you. Help this situation to make me more like Jesus. And you can be honest about what you want to see happen. Because often our prayers is that the situation goes away, whatever it is. Sometimes God doesn't take it away. But I think he does want us to talk about it, to say what we really feel. We see that with King David in the Psalms. He's very honest about how he wants God to take care of his enemies. He wants them to take them out. He's very honest with God about what he's feeling. But on the flip side, and Jesus, even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was the same way. He was very honest. He didn't want to go through this. But what was the caveat? He said, but I will do your will. We need to be the same way. Present our request to God. Identify the situation. But then third, and this is the key, you got to have gratitude. You've got to give gratitude for all God has done in your life. Because that shifts your focus from what you don't have, from the situation. It shifts your focus to instead all that God's done for you. And so you have so much to be grateful for life, for breath, for Jesus, if you have kids, if you have a spouse, for parents, friends, church family. Hopefully you're here and you have a house. You got here today some way. You probably have a car. We have clean water. We have fresh food. We have beautiful plants. We have beautiful grass, even though it's dying. Because there's no water. We need to be grateful for water. How many times have we complained about rain? Now we need the rain. We need to be grateful for animals. We have so much to be grateful for. And so in the same way that you're writing down your requests to God, how about you write down everything you have to be grateful for? And listen, that list is going to be long. That list is longer than what the situations are. That list is going to be longer than whatever bad you're experiencing. And so we need to shift our focus, and then I think we stay in this state of gratitude as long as we need to. We stay in this state of gratitude until that anxiety calms down within us, until the physical symptoms go away, until you feel that you are at ease, until you feel that your mind is whole again. Because that's a sign that you've received the peace of God. We're going to give you the opportunity to practice this right now. You notice we only did two songs before. We're going to do two songs after. And I'm ending 10 minutes earlier than I normally do. So you're welcome, but we have 10-minute baptism out there. So that's why. So the worship team can come on up. But we're going to give you the opportunity to do this right now. But I've got to say this before I give you this opportunity. There was a key here in verse 7. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You can't have the peace of God without knowing the Prince of Peace. You can't experience this unless you have a relationship with Jesus. And so you have to be in Christ Jesus to experience the peace of Christ Jesus. And so you might be here today and you don't have a relationship with Him. You might be here and you don't know Him. There's no better day than today. You know you're experiencing anxiety. You know that you don't have the peace of God within you. You know that something's off. Then commit your life to Him. Choose to follow Him. He loves you so much. He died for you so that you could have a relationship with Him. And all we ask you to do is to repent of your sins, to turn from your way of living and to turn to Him. To say, I want to follow your way. My way has got me in a lot of situations. So I want to follow yours. I want to make you the Lord and Savior of my life. And Scripture tells us that when you do that, your name is written in the book of life. And that all the sins, all the mess ups that you've ever experienced in your life are wiped clean. God forgets them. He casts them as far as the east is from the west. And He welcomes you into His family. He adopts you as sons and daughters into His kingdom. And so I want every head bowed and every eye closed today. And I want to give you the opportunity today, if that's you, I just want you to slip up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. But when you slip up your hand, you're making that commitment. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? You're making that commitment today saying, Lord, I'm following you. Lord, I want to follow you. For the rest of us, while your heads are still bowed, I want you to ask God, what am I feeling in my heart right now? What anxious thoughts are going through my head? And we're going to give you the opportunity. There's a note card on the seat in front of you. We're going to give you the opportunity to write down whatever you need to give to God, whatever situation is, whatever you're petitioning Him to do, we're going to give you the opportunity to give it to Him today. And so the worship team's going to sing, and you remain seated, and you write down as long as you need to. They're going to sing, I Speak Jesus, as a ministering song, really. Speaking Jesus over your life, over your family, over your hearts, over your minds. And I'm going to invite you to come up here. I'm going to invite you to rip up whatever it is and lay it on this altar as an act of giving it over to God. And then the last song we're singing is gratitude. Because you're going to leave it up here, and then I want you to turn your focus to sing about all God has done. So let me pray real quick. Lord, as I come